Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Bradley Coleman. What's up, Brad?
Bradley. People ask me, it's like, it's okay if I call you Bradley? Well, I'm like, well, that is my name. So, yes. Most of my family calls me Bradley. My wife calls me Brad. My kids call me Dad. So, yeah. I had a teacher in high school that I never actually had in class, but would see me in the hallway, and she called me Bradford. That is not my name.
Bradford.
So I would probably answer to it, but it is not my name. But, yeah, Bradley.
Listeners, what we want you all to know is that if you are new to the show, you are definitely allowed to call Brad Bradford. And if you are regulars of the show, we highly encourage that you call Brad Bradford. So, Chappie, I know you're a regular of the show. Chappie's got carte blanche right now to be able to just walk up to you and say, hey, Pastor Bradford.
Just to let you know, though, like, I reserve the right to also misinterpret your name.
That's right.
Well, Brother Stevenson.
Stevenson. So my name is David, technically. If anybody calls me David, what that means is either it's something legal and I don't care, or you don't know me and I don't want to talk to you.
You know, you really could go for a country version of that.
Davey.
No, you'd be David John.
David John. Oh, gosh, no. Dude.
Hey, David John over there, man. Why don't you go up to David John's? Man, he make a good cup of coffee. Y'all go over and see that fella. He's a good old boy. He's a good old boy, David John.
I mean, you're not wrong that is very much in the vein of the way to do things. That's right.
That's right. That's right. So you call me Bradford, you're David John.
I ain't calling you Bradford, dude. No way. I just gave our listeners permission to do that. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Because I don't want you to call me David John.
My brother-in-law, David John.
Man. No. So I got this phone call once. I was in college, and I got a telemarketer call, and the guy just right out of the gate wanted to try to get all buddy with me. And he said, well, hey, Dave, how you doing? And that's all I need to know. Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you very much for making this a very short conversation. Well, listeners, as you heard last week, we're doing this new thing with Green Frog Coffee Company here in Jackson, Tennessee. Actually, before Brad and I got on the air, I was eating a piece of their pumpkin roll, which is fantastic. So I definitely encourage you to stop by. But as we go on to the show, we'll at some point in time, we'll drop that little code word. So sorry if I gave you some false hopes there. But Brad, our topic today is, I've just got it titled in this little book of mine, Why is Sunday School Important? So let me do this. One of the things that you and I were talking about right before we jumped on was that no matter how long you've been going to church, if it's been longer than a week, or no, what was it that you said? Like 3 seconds or something?
I think 3 days.
It was 3 days. Yeah. If you've been going to church longer than 3 days and you call it Sunday school, you can't not call it Sunday school.
It's pretty ingrained. It is,
in my opinion, one of the worst names for that particular class in the world.
You know, how we make the kids really like it? Let's call it school. They
Let's
love
call it
school.
school. That's exactly right.
They'll love to go to school an extra day.
Or what about like what about the adults that are teachers? Hey, I know that you have the weekend break. How about you have some more school?
Yeah.
So, let's do this. Let's just start out just as fun, like because I think promoting Sunday school because of the words themselves is almost kind of it's not silly, but it's, how do you make Sunday school sound, cool or attractive? So Brad, let's start with this. What is the worst ad you've ever seen? And while you're thinking about that, listeners, we had technical difficulty, and this is the second time that I've said that. The worst ad, Brad, that I have ever seen, it's not necessarily an ad, but it's a series of ads for men's cologne and women's perfume. And just to kind of give you the idea, one of the ads with Johnny Depp, right, for Sauvage. Here's the thing, and I've never smelled it. So Sauvage, we thank you very much for your product. If you even care about our podcast, then we're certainly not trying to undermine you. But I will say this: if you want me to buy your product, you definitely are doing it wrong, because in that particular commercial, Johnny Depp is like lost in the desert, and he's driving this muscle car, and there's a bull in the middle of the road. And he stops the car, and then he turns around and drives off. And he says, "What am I looking for? I don't know. It's magic." And then he gets out and he digs a hole and he takes all his jewelry off and then stares sort of like gazingly at the horizon, and then says, "Sauvage." So I guess that means that if I want to like just sort of lose my mind and just kind of be this wandering this wandering nomad, go buy that cologne. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't
Well,
make any sense to me.
so I do, but at least you remember the name, right? You remember the name.
Well, the only reason I remember the name is because it's odd. Yeah, that's
Right,
it.
right, right. So I'm like, so not a completely useless one. And there may be some other
Okay.
people know this, but during the Super Bowl, there was a commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right. And he was not being able to say the word. And they're like, no, you say it this. And he just kept, I can't even remember what the word was right now. And it was a very memorable commercial, except for the fact of I have no idea what was being
What was
advertised
being
or who was
advertised?
the advertiser.
Yeah,
So it was
right.
like very memorable commercial. Don't remember what it was for. I think maybe a phone company could have been
I don't
something
remember.
else.
I know the
So,
commercial
like
you're
for
talking about,
me,
but yeah.
that's right. So that's horrible advertising because
Yeah.
you paid like bukus of money
Right.
to get Arnold to come in here, and it was clever. It was a
Yeah, it
clever
was. It was,
skit. It
yes.
was very memorable, but it didn't tie my mind into whatever your product is.
Yeah.
So there. Let me say another one. Here's
Yeah.
the other one, and this is not so much advertising as much as follow through,
Okay.
right? But I think they made a big deal about it. And then it was horrible. It's back when we were younger. This thing called Crystal Clear Pepsi.
Oh, I
You ever
remember it.
had Crystal Clear Pepsi?
Was it called Crystal Clear Pepsi, or was that Pepsi One?
No. This is Crystal Clear
I remember because
Pepsi.
I do. I remember the
It was clear. You
clear
get it in a
Pepsi. I
glass
remember
bottle.
it.
It's back
Yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was nasty.
So I think here's the other side of it. I think they marketed it, yeah, Crystal Pepsi, just Crystal
Crystal Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Okay, that I didn't remember.
Yeah, and it was clear, so I guess that's why we called it Crystal Clear Pepsi. It was awful. It tasted disgusting. I mean, I don't think I drank it more than once.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the advertising is good.
Right.
Oh, this is
Well,
cool. This is cool. This is novelty. This is something that a lot of people are going to try, but it's like you lost money on that, didn't you,
oh,
Pepsi?
well, no,
Lost
and
a lot
dude,
of money on
like,
that.
for a fact, that was the gimmick. I mean,
Yeah.
for this particular men's cologne, obviously Johnny Depp is their selling point. It's not the scene, because again, the scene makes no sense. But here's one, Brad. This is the one that I remember the most. Cher and I have actually, well, oftentimes, like if we're joking about marketing ads and whatnot, this is the one that we'll typically go back to. But another men's cologne, I can't even tell you what it is, but there's this guy who's swimming in open water in whitey tighties, and all of a sudden, when he comes out all dramatically, he's in his not just his bathroom, he's in his bathtub. So you want me to smell like that? You want me to smell like to me, it's almost as if they're saying, don't you want to smell like this guy who's swimming around in his whitey tighties, who comes up in his bathroom?
Well,
Like, no. This
I
like
thought of
I
that with
thought it was
Johnny
supposed
Depp,
to do the
because
opposite of that, right?
Johnny Depp in the desert, and where does my brain go to? Jack Sparrow. So it's
Yeah.
like sweaty pirate with a little bit of
Or yeah, right.
rum.
Well, and I mean, if you're gonna go that direction, it's not just Johnny Depp in the desert. It's Johnny Depp in the desert in an old American muscle car that, like, with a bull. I don't know where you're going here.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't know what you want me to smell like, but I don't think that's what I want to smell like.
Yeah,
So
like
those to me.
somebody had a dream. Somebody had a dream. That was their dream. They had the ability to make it reality, and they did, and nobody stopped them. And sometimes
So,
people should be stopped.
there's one that I remember from women's perfume, which is weird because I don't remember seeing as many, maybe like Elizabeth the is it not Elizabeth Taylor, but there was a
Because see now, boom, that's good advertising. Very simple, white diamonds.
White Diamonds. That's what it is. Yes,
Yeah.
that's right. Yeah, it is
I
Elizabeth
can,
Taylor then.
like
That's
you
right.
say, Elizabeth Taylor
You
perfume, white
remember, yeah.
diamonds. Boom.
Yeah.
Simple. I mean, not saying that I've ever used it, but I mean, as far as like making it memorable, making it something that just like
Yeah.
my brain automatically goes to associate those two together.
Okay. So then getting into our topic then about Sunday school. Let me ask you this. Like, I actually don't have this question written down, but I think this is a really good segue into it. So, for listeners, if you're new to the show, Brad is a senior pastor of a church outside St. Louis. My dad
First
was
Baptist Murphy.
First Baptist Murphy. My dad was a pastor, or is a pastor, but he's always been a pastor. So, like, I'm a PK. Brad, what is whether it be from your role as a senior pastor or in full-time church ministry, or even back when you were coming of age, what is like the worst selling point? I should say it that way. Like, what's how have you seen Sunday school not promoted well? And I personally think, like, for me, I actually think that it's just in the name, like
Yeah.
Sunday school. I think that's the worst
Right.
possible name that we could ever give it.
Okay. Come to school on Sunday.
On
It'll be awesome.
Sunday,
We know how much you love school.
I
Everybody loves school. School's so great.
know.
You want to do it on Sunday? Come to extra church.
Yeah, come to extra church.
You want extra credit? Extra credit with Jesus.
Jesus loves you more if you go to Sunday
Does
school.
it really count? Right. Does it really count if you go if, to going to church if you didn't come to Sunday school?
Yeah.
None of those have ever actually been spoken, but I will say some of the idealism has probably been there.
Oh, yeah.
I think the fact that we again called it that we call it school, and I think as we started to mention, we've tried to change that. I've tried to change that in the past. I've been part of a church that, it's Sunday morning Bible study. It's Sunday morning Bible study, which is great. Sunday morning Bible study describes when it is and
Right.
what it is.
And what it
Very
is.
simple, and I like that. And it's great, except for it's Sunday school. Like you just can't get it out of the vernacular. It's
You really can't, man.
Sunday school. I think probably with Sunday school, one of the best things, let me kind of turn that way, right? Is when you start going and you realize it's nothing like school.
Nothing. Well, it shouldn't be.
Right.
I have attended Sunday schools where it is almost identical to school. But I didn't mean to derail you there, Brett. Like, I would just be cautious to say it's not. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and let's go there. What is the purpose of Sunday school? Why do we have Sunday school?
Yeah. So
Aren't we already going to church?
I would definitely be willing to say that as an adult, Brad, is when I really began to understand the purpose of Sunday school. And the purpose of Sunday school is basically I'm going to call it a step towards discipleship. And so you've got small groups or idealistically anyways, you've got people in small groups that are creating a safe space for them to begin to grow. And when I say grow, like the safe space that they create is because it's in a small group, people tend to feel safer. People tend to have higher levels of trust. And I mean, like, that's psychology right there, right? If you have a large group of people, it's harder to feel like you can begin to open your heart and open your mind, and become more vulnerable. Whereas if you have a smaller amount of people who are, and I'm going to say this because I think it is deliberate, it's an intention of Sunday school. It's not just a smaller group of people, but a smaller group of regulars, right? This small amount of people that are regularly investing into each other's lives, then it's not really a school classroom setting. It's peer learning, and again, it's a step towards discipleship. That's been my take on it.
Right. Do you know when Sunday school started?
I'm gonna guess that Sunday school started with the Southern Baptist denomination, and I'm gonna guess that it started in 1928. Am I right?
Wrong.
Oh, dang it.
You're wrong. Most of the time it's credited to have started in the late 1700s,
Oh, wow, dude.
so 18th century. That's how it works, by the way. 1700s, 18th century. Just
Yes, correct.
little history lesson there. By a guy named Robert Raikes, apparently is one who usually gets the credit for it, who was a newspaper publisher in Gloucester, England. Very interested in prison reform, and he believed that teaching children basic and religious education on Sundays would prevent them from becoming criminals. Important to note, again, that Protestant Sunday schools were first set in the 18th century in England to provide education to working children. So these children most likely were not getting an education. And so Sunday school is probably called Sunday school because it was their school.
Dude, and
They would
that
come
right
and
there.
learn, probably learn to read and learn
Yeah.
about faith and these things.
See
So
from see and
education.
Brad and Brad from that perspective, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that is absolutely the coolest way for the church to show service to society, right? I mean, right there.
And so you're right. So here's a need, and let's
Yeah.
fulfill that need. Now, let me get on. I like Sunday school. I'm not against Sunday school.
Right.
I've grown up going to Sunday school. Sunday school is not something that in and of itself is dictated as something that God says we're supposed to do every week. And that we need to do it just okay. Sunday school, you got to do it on Sunday morning, so I'm for Sunday school. I don't want to hear people say thinking, "Oh, he doesn't like Sunday school." No, I do, and I think it's a good idea. Hey, here we have this Bible study. We're focusing on discipleship. We're
Right.
learning. We're growing our faith in a small group environment where, right? It hopefully will be more people will share. People are feel more comfortable asking questions and
Yeah,
all those
no
things.
doubt, dude.
But sometimes we see those things that have been in church and have become so ingrained in what church is that if there was a church down the road that didn't do Sunday school, we would gasp and go, well, I wouldn't go to that church because they're obviously not good.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Jesus didn't tell us to do Sunday school. He told us to make disciples. And that can look different. Now, obviously, when it was started, that was awesome. And
That's right.
I still think it can be awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean,
And
I can tell you, I can tell you that when we were in Mississippi, when we first moved down there, actually, for, you know, for me to get my doctorate, and we started doing the church hopping thing. There was, I'll call it like the hipster church. You know, it was the church that didn't have it. They didn't have like an established building. They rented a space. A lot of young families, college students. It was kind of a church that attracted that crowd, which is absolutely fine. One of the things that Sharon and I really wanted was not just a church service. We wanted an established small group setting so that we could get plugged in, not necessarily to the church, but we could get plugged in to families on a very, very regular basis. And this particular church was not set up that way. And that's fine. But that's not like for us, that's not one of the things that we wanted. And Brad, since we're talking about Sunday school and coffee. Oh, wait, no, we're not talking about coffee, but I'm going to.
You can always talk about
We
coffee.
can always talk about coffee. Listeners, we're gonna press pause and I'm gonna say we need to give our collaboration partner, yeah,
Word
word
of
of
the
the day.
week. Ah, word of the confetti.
and actually here, let me cue our word of the day music. Do 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 do. Cool. Now the word of the day is Sunday school, believe it or not. Oh my goodness.
Who
But
knew?
I will say this, that if you're in the Jackson, Tennessee area, remember that if you use the code word Sunday school, you'll get $2 off your order all day. And it's only at the north location.
Oh,
And
the north location of what? I don't think
the
you even
north
told me that.
location. Oh, thank you very much, Brad. The north location of Green Frog Coffee Company. North location by close to Union University, and right next to Leaders Credit Union. But what I can tell you is that they are fantastic. They have great customer service. Their food is excellent. I had a pumpkin roll this morning. It was so good. I've had a burger there recently, dude, Brad. So no joke, I would put their burgers. I mean, I've only had one there, but their burger, I would put as one of the best ones that I've had in Jackson, Tennessee. So their prices are actually very reasonable,
And now even cheaper
and
on
now even
this
cheaper. I mean,
Monday,
it's
you can
2 bucks
get
off. That's
$2
exactly right.
off.
Yep. So the code word for today, Monday, October 28th, is Sunday school. Now. Oh, and I forgot. I need to give you their promo that Green Frog Coffee Company has service with a smile, very, very friendly, and their coffee is so good that a snowman can drink it. And as a matter of fact, I'm actually drinking I'm drinking like toffee coffee right now. It's from Green Frog. It's so good.
Olaf would enjoy it in summer.
In summer. All right, so Brad, let me ask you this, man. Personally, and you decide how you want to answer this when I say personally, obviously, but like not necessarily as a pastor unless you want to say it this way. But how have you benefited from Sunday school?
That's a good question. That is a
Thank
good
you.
question.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're
And I
too
would say,
kind.
and this is why I'm an advocate for Sunday school, or at least if you're not doing Sunday school, having a small group Bible study. I learned a lot. Just one of the things, like growing up in Sunday school, especially as a kid, right? I'm hearing those Bible stories. I mean, I heard them at home, but as a kid, it's like, I don't know. a lot of churches do a children's church, but I didn't grow up in a church that had children's church, right? So children sat in church.
Yeah.
So I
No,
learned a
no.
lot from the sermon.
Right here, man.
Yeah, I learned a
Same
lot from the
way.
sermon, and that was great too. But I learned a lot of those Bible stories and experienced felt boards back in the day.
I
This is
forgot about felt
Mary, and this
boards.
is Joseph, and this is the baby
That's
Jesus,
right.
and put the lamb over here. And
Yep.
but it ingrained those stories and those biblical values and stuff into me. And again, as a kid, I think I was the annoying kid that was asking the questions a lot. Good thing I grew out of that.
Yeah, Brad doesn't ask questions ever again.
But I think, it gave that small group where, it asked that question. And I think that having, especially with kids, having people teaching those classes that are really good with kids, that love teaching kids, that have that ability to reach with kids that aren't the people that are just going to constantly get frustrated at their questions and shut them down, but are just open, then it allowed me to ask these questions, even if they were stupid, even if they were redonkulous questions, but to learn, right? So there was that back and forth, which again is why I think Sunday school is good. It's a small group Bible study. That's what's supposed to be. But we're also, there's discipleship, there is sharing of life together. I don't know, for some people they're like, oh, look, that's what all the churches are saying. Oh, look, they did life together, life together, life together, life together. Well, yeah, and I'm not just saying it because it's cliche. I'm just saying it because we're supposed to do life together.
Well, and that's yeah, and
Sharing.
so let me say, like when you first said, it's not supposed, or it's not like school, and I kind of like pushed back a little bit and said, actually, I've attended Sunday schools that were very much like school, and you have a lecturer who's and I'm just gonna step on some toes. A lecturer who stands behind a podium and, delivers some expositional lesson.
I
I
think you
mean,
just described my preaching.
well, but no, that's
That's
different. That's a,
later.
that's a, that's
That's
later. That's right.
the
Yeah,
next part
that's
of the
later. That's
service.
the next hour. That's right. No, when I was a kid, I actually hated Sunday school. But let me explain why. As a matter of fact, like right now, I'm thinking of a very specific memory where I was always asked to read the scripture. I was always asked to pray. I was always the one, and the reason is because I was the only one. And like it, as an adult, if I'm sitting in a Sunday school class and the teacher just goes and goes and goes, and what I love, like I'm gonna press pause and say that the Sunday school that my wife and I attend now is not set up that way. Part of the reason is because like I co-teach it, but the other reason is because it's not set up that way. But I've attended them that do that. But like when you're being talked at, that's actually not living life together. You're not allowed to live life together. And Brad, as you were saying, one of the things that, and I loved how you said this, that Sunday school should be a place where we feel safe to ask questions. Well, if you're being talked at, you like there is this part of verbal communication that says, okay, well, because this particular person is in a place of quote unquote authority and they keep talking, I am not allowed to ask questions. You know, I mean, that's, and we, where do we learn that? We actually do learn that in school. So like, I would be willing to say that the idea of Sunday school, promoting living life together, it has to be set up, or at least it has to be facilitated. I shouldn't say set up, but it has to be facilitated to where people feel like they have an equal share and an equal voice, to be able to contribute to conversations.
Yeah. And I think again that there's a time for more lecture styled learning, and some of us learn well in that. I sat under Jeff Woolham as a senior pastor in Ohio for 7 years. Jeff is very smart, very intellectual guy. He's going to explain a lot of what the Greek words are in his sermons. He's going to he preaches in a way that is very intellectual, very college professor
I like the
like.
guy.
Yeah, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I ate it up. I learned so much. I took notes every Sunday, just all this stuff. I learned so much from Jeff. And your sister hated it. No offense to Jeff. She loves Jeff.
Right,
But
sure.
like for her, that doesn't work as well. She says she likes my preaching. She's usually pretty honest.
I'm not gonna touch this man.
Yeah.
You've got it.
I honestly, because she's pretty honest with me, sometimes brutally, if I need it. I think she'd tell me if she didn't, but she tells me that I preach more like a
I
youth
can't imagine that
pastor.
my sister would not speak her
She
mind.
couldn't hold her tongue that long.
No, she
Not
can't.
every Sunday.
Not every Sunday.
Yeah.
All
She
right,
said,
so next question here, Brad. So what makes Sunday school hard to grow?
what makes it hard to grow?
And I guess that's really more of like an administration question, but
Yeah. I think one of the problems that we have is people are just busy. People are busy all the time.
yeah.
Like, I'm busy all the time. Everybody's busy all the time.
Everybody's busy.
I think that the Sunday has too is become one of those times that it is grasped for time. There's stuff that my kids haven't been able to do because they're on Sunday. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but like, sports, so I'm not going to be personal. I'm not going to name the sports, but sports that tournaments and things are done on Sunday morning. Well, guess what? My kids aren't going to be there. If I have to choose between the sports or church, they're going to be at church. Not everybody feels that passionate about it. And I'm not trying to throw the hammer down and condemn the people that are doing that. I think it's very dangerous, especially if it's a continual thing. Like, and then because you're showing your kids what your priorities are. But I also know a lot of guys that are deer hunters that, man, Sunday morning, they're not going to be there.
Dude, deer hunting, turkey hunting, yeah, duck hunting, sure.
And again, right or wrong, up or down, left or right,
Just that's the reality of it. That's exactly right. Yeah, good for you, Brad. Yeah.
So, but I think that there's a lot of things that are crying for that time. Now, having said that, with Sunday school, well, what if I'm involved in a small group Bible study on Tuesday night? Praise the Lord. Do I need to come to Sunday school? Well, you're invited. We'd love to have you, but I'm more worried about what is the point, and are you getting that? Because one, we want to be growing as disciples. We want to be serving the church in the role that God has called us to. And we all have a role. We all have spiritual gifts that are meant to be used to build up the church. And then I think and beyond, right? And so are we in fellowship with the church? Not a building, but the people. Now, I think you need to be connected with a local church. I think you need to be, again, for lack of a better term, doing life together with a local church. There are people that never miss a Sunday that don't fellowship with the church.
Boom. Say that again, Brad. Say that again, just to make sure that listeners catch it.
Here again, for those in the back, there are people that come to church every Sunday, never miss a church service, never miss a Sunday, and they don't fellowship. And again, when I look at the word fellowship, in my understanding, it means a close and personal relationship. We're supposed to have fellowship with God and the Spirit and the Son and have a close, personal, positive relationship. And we're supposed to be doing that together as the church. We're supposed to be. So again, that's doing life together. That's going through ups and downs together, weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice, bearing one another's burdens, praying for one another. It's community. We're supposed to be in community together as believers. We should be the tightest-knit community, right? But also the tightest-knit community that is welcoming to those outside, because that's God's heart
That's exactly right.
is I don't want to keep people out. I want to invite people in.
Yeah. Hey, can I? I want to interrupt your thought, and I
It
want to.
probably should, or
I
I'll
want
just
to. I, no,
keep
no, no. Yeah, right.
rambling.
I want to interject that though. Okay. So here is, I think, one of the things that makes Sunday school intimidating. So, the question was, why is it hard to grow Sunday school? I think you're definitely right. People are busy. We're grasping for time. It's another thing that we have to worry about getting out of the door to go do. I fully accept that. Like, I have to leave early in the morning, not for Sunday school. I have to leave early in the morning because I've got praise team, worship team practice. The days that I don't have worship team practice, dude, I'm on cloud nine because I get, I'm just not sped up to get out of the door. But for people like if it's Sunday school that they're trying to get out of the door with, I'm totally with you, Brad. I think an I but I think like if you are willing, to attend a Sunday school, I think the most intimidating thing about Sunday school is if you attend a really, really strong class. Number one, this isn't intimidating, but number one, they will be very welcoming. But number two, the intimidating point is that they all know each other really well. And that is really intimidating as someone who is new to come in. Now, I am not saying that the remedy is to make sure that that doesn't happen because that's stupid. But like to be able to walk in and see, it's attractive, but it's intimidating. It's attractive to me anyways, Brad. To be able to walk into a Sunday school and see like this group cares about each other. They are tight-knit. They share prayer requests, they pray for each other, they laugh. They openly ask questions, they openly talk, they openly discuss. It is interactive, it's involved. People are quote unquote learning. When you walk into that kind of a situation, it is intimidating because you don't have much to say as if you were to walk in to a, okay, this is where nobody talks. I get to hide and kind of ease my way in and just be another face in the crowd.
Well, and so you bring up a training that I remembered and I had forgotten about, that they were talking about Sunday school, but they were also talking about small groups and all these dynamics. And that's one of the things that you have to ask yourself is my group open or closed? Is it an open group or closed? You also have to remember that every open group will tend toward becoming a closed group. And that's not to say that open is good and closed is bad. Some groups need to be closed, right? There needs to be, like, there becomes an intimacy where we're talking about serious stuff. I think about like a grief group sometimes. Like there may be a time where that group needs to be a closed group. Secrets and things are being shared, that it's just it needs to be this level of deep trust. So yeah, we're not going to let somebody else in right now. And now that group can maybe later become open, or we start a new group, right? I think one of the things that we don't do a good job at generally as people is the reality that most things need to change and evolve over time.
You're
And we
exactly
hate
right.
that. Nope, I want it. I want to go back to church that I grew up in when I was when I got saved, and I want everything to be the same. And that church doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
Like, even if the same people are there, because people grow, people change, and the church needs to grow and change along with it, not the message. The message of the gospel never changes. And so I think Sunday school has to adapt. So if a church decides, hey, we're not going to do Sunday morning Bible study because people aren't coming, and we've tried all these things, but hey, we're doing small groups during the week, and we've
Yeah.
got lots of people that are connecting. Hallelujah, praise hallelujah. Like, sometimes you got to kill Sunday school. I'm not suggesting that that's the rule, because I don't think there is a rule when it comes to those things. You got to
And
have Sunday school. You got to not have Sunday school. You got to do
yeah,
this.
and
You got to.
Brad, to that point, you said, like, you looked this up, that Sunday school started in the late 1700s, which means that they were, and I'm gonna let's be very conservative with our numbers here. That means that we were 1100, or sorry, 1600, 1700, we were 1600 years removed from the first century church, from the early church, Jesus's era of church, the disciples' era of church before Sunday school was a thing. So no, there is no in writing. Sunday school has to be there, and it has to look like this. I can't agree with you more, dude. Yeah.
And so
But
again,
in that in that same
we
vein,
just gotta be honest.
I am very unfortunately, Brad, I hate admitting this. I can't stand it. I am very unfortunately one of those people that you're talking about. I have come to love the people in my Sunday school so much. But I know for a fact that and actually we've had we in the last in the, I don't know, in the last year, we probably had, I don't know, six or seven families, maybe eight families join and come to our Sunday school. And in that amount of time, I keep thinking to myself, this is wonderful, but I know what's coming next. And I'm not looking forward to it. I am, but like getting to know people all over, like getting to know new people, maybe not all over, but getting to know new people and not being able to continue those investments with other people is absolutely fine. And listeners, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. But like in that same vein, Brad, with what you were talking about, when that group becomes closed, dude, you're like church ceases to be welcoming at that point in time. And you can shake people's hands and say, "Praise God, I'm so glad you're here during the service. What Sunday school class do I need to go to? Well, let me show you and let me lead you to another one." As opposed to, "Dude, I want you to come sit with me. Come into our Sunday school and have a seat and let's start doing life together."
Well, back in the day, I don't know, probably 50 years ago, I guess. I can't really speak much for that because I wasn't there. But my understanding is that, Sunday school used to be the main route into coming to church service, coming to worship. Like, most people would come and check out the Sunday school first. They would
I did
connect in
not know
Sunday
that.
school and then start going to church.
Right.
That's not the case anymore, from, again, what I understand. I didn't study this. I'm
Yeah.
going off other people's data.
Right.
Most people's first view of church now is their website
Yeah, and that's very true.
and or online streaming. They're going to go listen to a few sermons, they're going to see a few services, and
Yeah.
they're going to decide whether they want to come.
Well, it is my assertion and I want to hear you on this, Brad, but it's my assertion that the integrity of a church is actually not in the worship service. The integrity of the church, and when I say the church, again, not the building, not even the infrastructure, like how, like what programs, what do you have to offer, all that kind of stuff. The people themselves, like you really see. It's my assertion that you really see the hearts of the people, the heart of the church in the Sunday school, because it's small group, because it's not pastor led, because it's not a bunch of people sitting in pews or seats listening to, expositional preaching, which is something that we need. I'm not discrediting that at all. But like I fully admit that that like the senior pastor is like the bus driver, right? The you know, senior pastor has the vision
I'm
for the church. The
the
bus driver has a
bus
senior
driver.
has the vision for the church. But
Never really saw myself as the bus driver, but
yeah,
yeah,
you're a
we'll
bus
go
driver.
there.
You're a bus
I'm
driver,
the
dude.
bus driver.
Yeah. But like
Shut up, sit down. I see you.
I see you. But the it's the Sunday school, or as you were saying, if it's not Sunday school, fine, but it's small group situations, small group regular situations that are the integrity of the church.
I think I would go and say this. Whether it's Sunday school, whether it's service, whether it's both, whether it's small groups, whatever it is, where is Jesus in the gospel in the church? Where is the emphasis on abiding in Christ, coming to know Christ? Where is discipleship? Where is the church on Monday morning and Friday night? Because the church is not just defined right by what happens on Sunday and
Well, that's
maybe
cr yeah,
Wednesday.
correct. Right.
Like it's got to be defined by, are we walking in step with this Holy Spirit? And if that means that hey, like I was at this church and I looked it up, and maybe it was a different church in Montana. There's a really cool church called Outdoorsman Church in Montana. And I thought it was them, but maybe it's a different one because it looks like they do meet on Sunday. But this particular church that we went to, they did their main service on Thursday night because it was like a lot of the people were like cattle herders and stuff like that. And
Oh, yeah, dude.
it was the time that worked best. And they were, they weren't doing their primary service on Sunday.
Right.
Some people lose their mind about that. Where's the focus?
Right.
Is it on Jesus? Is it on us living in Jesus and
Yeah.
his and God's Holy Spirit empowering us to live holy and to share the gospel? And whatever that looks like, not so much being married to the methodology as much as we are the bride of Christ. Are we married to Christ? Are we so marinated in Christ that we're living out the gospel? Because somebody put it this way, okay? I'm trying to think exactly, but basically, they asked the question, if God didn't show up for church on Sunday, if he didn't show up at your church, how long would it take people to notice?
If God did not show up at church on Sunday, how long would it take
Yeah,
people?
or on Sunday, if God just wasn't there. Wasn't the emphasis. Wasn't we weren't really worshiping God. We were just singing music. We weren't really preaching in the spirit. We're just reading words. How long would it
So
take for people to notice?
I know I understand
I
fully
know
that.
it's a rhetorical,
Well,
question for us to dwell on,
I
but
understand fully that you mean to be rhetorical, but I actually attended a church, Sharon and I did, back in the day where that became the reality. And I would be willing to say that the church in most of its entirety, because you can't please everybody, but the church in most of its entirety began to realize that around a year. It took somewhere between 6 months, no, not even like eight, nine, 10 months to a year before we realized that the emphasis was no longer,
So
Christ.
and so here's the thing, basically, so what you just said, because you can't please everybody, the reality biblically of the church is there's only supposed to be one that's pleased, and that's God. And we make church We make church about pleasing us, and that's not worship.
That's right.
Well, or maybe
Well,
it
it
is
is, but
worship,
it's
but
yeah,
it's not
wrong worship. Yeah.
this. Yeah, who are we worshiping?
Yeah.
And that's where I got to be careful because we're recording. But that's where I get frustrated, and I can get frustrated with myself too, right? It's just I is one, but we get so caught up on what music we're doing or how, you know, whether or not we like the preaching or whatever.
Right.
Like, coming to church is about worshiping God and growing in God and growing together in God and discipling. Like, where in His word does it say, come and do what you would like to do? Come and do what would please you. No, it
Right.
tells us to die to ourselves. And I think, if I'm honest, and I need to do a lot more of this too, all right? If the church, and I speak in church in America, church, and if we are going to really fully live out the gospel, we're gonna have to do a whole lot more dying to ourself
Oh, gosh,
and
dude. Yeah.
living to and for and through and in Jesus. Because when we're so critical, because I didn't like the songs that were sung today because I didn't know them or they weren't my style. And if you can't worship when that happens, then you didn't really come to worship anyway.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And
So worship's not about you, it's about God.
Brad, one of the things that I was thinking about several minutes ago, I think if my memory serves correctly, basically when you were kind of talking about, you know, how Sunday school may look this way or small group over here, one of the other things that I see a small group setting, such as Sunday school, supposed to be promoting is, and I need to be careful, but I'm going to say it the way I want to, and then I got to qualify it a little bit. But it is okay that you don't look like me. Meaning, if a church has Sunday school, and they are absolutely authentically in love with Jesus, they're preaching Jesus. I say preaching, they're teaching Jesus.
You should be preaching Jesus too, definitely.
Yes, but I mean, like, they're teaching the authority of Scripture, right? And you look over here at this other church that is viewed as maybe progressive, and I understand that word has a totally different meaning than pretty much the way I'm using it. But if they're progressive or innovative or whatever word, and they don't have Sunday school, but they have small groups, and guess what? They're teaching the authority of Scripture. They're teaching the authenticity of salvation through Jesus Christ. Then I'm sorry, it's okay that you don't look like them. And that's another thing that I kind of meant that I know probably didn't is not just part of the insinuation, that the small group area, such as Sunday school, represents the true integrity of the church. Because Brad, and I'm speaking now as someone who's not in full-time ministry. Brad, you as the full-time minister can talk to the church until you're blue in the face about how we as the church are supposed to accept other people. And when I say accept, we're supposed to love other people without judgment. There we go. We'll just put it that way. And if we look across denominational lines, if we look within denominational lines and see different differences in this or in that, we are not supposed to care as to how that looks, as long as, like, where is, as you mentioned, where is Jesus in all of this? So you can tell us that all a live long day. But if we're not the ones that are actually instituting it, then I mean, it no offense, but it really it's almost like a moot point. And that's why I've always viewed, I say always as an adult, that's why I viewed that the small group area really does represent the integrity of the church, because we get to see whether all of those lines connect. We get to experience the consistency of Christ between service and in Sunday school.
Yeah.
So, closing thoughts there, boss?
Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
Seek Jesus.
Yeah.
And the more you do that, the more that some of this other stuff will matter less, and the more that it'll be apparent what it looks like to be Christ-like. And it's not always, and depending on what you've been told, it's not always what you've been told.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do, is just follow Jesus. And there's a lot of stuff along the way that I've thrown out. And some of it I had to go back and dust off and go, oops, you weren't supposed to go. And
Yeah.
some of it I'm still holding on to that I'm sure that God's going to be like, yeah, need to kick that to the curb. Be so worried about that, it doesn't matter. So just get in his word, seek Jesus, and if you just listen to his spirit, he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And then love people and be gracious, because sometimes as people, God can help us figure something out. And it took him 20 years to get it through our skull. And then we're ready to crucify everybody that's still over there 2 minutes after we're on the other side.
Oh, dude. Oh,
So
man.
please don't do that.
Dude, that needs to be another show right there.
Yeah.
That's solid stuff. All right. Well, on that note, there you go. There, like let's end. That's not a mic drop. That's not a mic drop moment.
Sunday
That's an
school is the
atomic bomb. Yeah,
code
well, dang.
for Green Frog Coffee.
Yeah,
Sunday
right.
school.
Sunday school's
This
code word
code
for
gets you
Green
$2
Frog
off
Coffee. Yeah,
on
North
Monday,
Jackson.
Sunday.
Listeners, thank you so much for choosing to listen to our show, hanging out with us. We thank you so much for participating. Hope that you've enjoyed hearing me and Brad trying to, just kind of, I'm not going to say duke it out because we weren't, but like just, just talking about Sunday school and small group. We certainly encourage and ask that if you are not involved in a small group in your church, get involved. If you're not involved in church, get involved. Jesus is everywhere. I understand that fully, but like when you are experiencing the love of Jesus with other people that love Jesus, I'm telling you, the Christian walk is absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, we thank you so much. You know what to do. Rate and review us, subscribe to the show, follow the show, whatever you are, whatever platform you're streaming your podcast from. If it's Spotify, click the little bell so that you get an indication every Monday when the show drops. If it's iTunes, just click follow, and do this for us. Give us quick 5-star review. The more reviews that we get, the more and the more or rating, I should say, give us a 5-star rating and then review us. But the more of those that we get, the more that our show will kind of pop up in people's feeds. Yeah, beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too. Love you guys.
Listeners, we love you all, and we will catch you next time.